Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We've got a Facebook page, except for those of you who are trolls and are still complaining about the fact that we don't talk enough hockey, blah, 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 blah. Go find the world's tiniest violin so I can play it for you, okay? And make sure you use the hashtag First World Problems, because nobody cares that you don't like the radio show. You think that by hating me, you might possibly be able to chase me away from this job, but instead, all you're doing is helping me. The fact is, you're still listening. Hey, hey,
hey. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, there is plenty of satisfaction to be found. It is a Friday morning. Let that sink in. And probably for a good percentage of you and of us, it does apply to us. It is payday as well. Friday. Payday. And it's just 2 weeks to Christmas. Actually, not even. We're talking about, 12 days maybe to Christmas? What's the date? The 14th? Oh, my goodness. 11. It's the trifecta. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and I'm giddy. I'm still getting over the cold, but I think I sound almost back to normal, which makes me happy. And the weekend is almost here. Lots of fun Christmas activities planned and tons of football. So I'm excited. I mean, yes, giddy and excited. I spoke to a new friend of mine on the phone on Thursday, and after a couple of minutes, now I had just woken up. I hadn't been up that long. I was doing laundry. I was getting ready for football. And he says to me, "How much coffee have you had?" "Oh, just a cup." "What? No way. It sounds like you've had 3 or 4 cups." "Nope, just my natural energy." I guess you have to get used to it. Take it with a grain of salt. But this is me being giddy over the weekend and Christmas coming and, of course, payday, because how else do we survive? So we've got a lot to talk about this hour. Which game are you most looking forward to? In the NFL Week 15, we've got a doubleheader on Saturday and then a full slate coming up on Sunday, plus Monday Night Football. And our poll is up. We always select 4 games. You can pick the rest. You can go ahead on our Facebook page and you can decide that it's off the beaten path. So I'm going to retweet this poll, but check it out. A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS. And then our Facebook page too. If you haven't yet gotten the answer to yesterday's trivia question, well, it's up. It's on social media and people are still guessing. And I'm still getting questions from you. Wait, what teams am I missing? It's cool. I'm glad that you put so much brain power into it. I feel like I contributed. You know, they say if you learn a new language, you learn to play an instrument, you do a lot of puzzles, it's good for your brain. It's exercise for your brain. So I feel as though in the last 24 hours, I contributed some exercise for your brain. Bro. Not bruh. Bro. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Here's my problem with that, Brian. I had a friend and a colleague that for over a year called me bruh in text messages. So if that's, why was he calling me bruh? Is that because I was annoying and frustrating him? Uh-oh.
I wouldn't consider it a good thing.
Oh, crap. I was thinking it was like a term of affection because we were buddies. That actually explains a lot.
No.
Oh, well, so much for that. That would explain why I haven't heard from him in a while. light bulb just went on. It doesn't matter. It cannot ruin my weekend now that I've been edumacated. My brain is like a plate of spaghetti. That is so true. I mean, it's the perfect way to describe it. Plus, I'm Italian, so I like spaghetti. All right, so Thursday night football kicked us off week 15. And once again, the San Diego Superchargers turned Los Angeles Chargers, the team without a home that hasn't made the playoffs since 2013. They are showing you what they are made of. After a first half in which they did not play their best, now they put together some extended drives, one drive that started on their 5-yard line and still resulted with an interception in the end zone. So it was a pair of poor choices, poor mistakes on bad throws by Phillip Rivers in the first half. So they end up giving extra possessions to the Chiefs. A pair of Mahomes touchdown passes. He's now up to 45 on the season. And it was 14-7 at halftime. Now, not quite as big a hole as they were in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago, their last road game. Remember, they were down by 16 points at the break and had to really climb out of that hole. But in the first half, you could at least see some of the trends that were going to make a major difference down the stretch. Now, one thing that changed from the first half to the second half was no Eric Berry. And I felt like you could tell the tenor of the defense and the tackling was different in the second half for the Kansas City Chiefs. They had a pass rush all game long, but without him in the secondary, it seemed like there was a letdown and it wasn't quite as crisp, wasn't as sharp, wasn't as fierce, wasn't as tight in that defensive backfield. And so I did appreciate the return of Berry. This was his first game of the year and first game at Arrowhead in a full calendar year. And he finished up with 6 tackles, and that was just the first half. So it was pre-planned that he would not play in the second half. What the Chiefs did well on defense was put a lot of pressure on Phillip Rivers. All game long, he was facing pressure. 5 sacks and a dozen other quarterback hits outside of that. Think about that. 17 times they at least got a hand on him. Think about all the other times they forced him into rushing or moving. And a lot of these were coverage sacks, too. You ended up having him not without any available target because there were times when the Chiefs were covering downfield. Now, that didn't hold throughout the game, but the pressure did. There was a great pass rush there, and I really enjoyed seeing Chris Jones go to work, too. If you haven't seen the stats with him or the particular NFL record that he now owns, he's got this is the best ever in one single season. He's got a sack in 10 consecutive games, at least one sack in 10 consecutive games. And so the pass rush was there for a good portion of this game. But despite that pressure, Los Angeles kept putting together these extended drives. So Rivers, even though he had the 2 turnovers, he was able to, without his top receiver and without his top running back, he was able to keep the ball for long periods of time. Do you know there are 4 drives for the Chiefs or for the Chargers in this game in which they had at least 11 plays and the drive itself extended more than 4.5 minutes? I mean, it was really impressive to see without Melvin Gordon, they have Justin Jackson out there, no Keenan Allen, and they're relying on Travis Benjamin and, of course, Mike Williams to step up, and step up he did. But still, all of that results in the Chiefs being up 14 points midway through the fourth quarter. And this is when you started to see vintage Phillip Rivers. So they get the ball back, they go 75 yards in 11 plays, and it's Justin Jackson who has the touchdown. Then here comes the defense, and this was amazing. The Chargers defense, because of the way that the offense controlled the ball, they got extra time on the bench to rest. They had fresh legs. They were very active. They forced a 3-and-out. So Kansas City has got this vaunted offense with this must-see Mahomes, this incredible quarterback. They go 3-and-out. They're only up 7 at this point. They desperately need to keep the ball away from the LA offense, but they can't do it. On that last drive, they have a false start and a huge sack that the Chargers defense produced. And so Los Angeles gets the ball back on the 40-yard line for Kansas City and their own 40-yard line. And they've only got 2.5 minutes, right? And so this is where you you kind of think back to that Pittsburgh game, but all of the situations that the Chargers have been in this season in which they have been in close games, whether it's on the road, whether it's home, and instead of crumbling, like maybe you've come to expect, also instead of having major kicking problems, what they've done is produce. What they've done is rise to the occasion, and that's different. This 2018 Chargers team is different. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, again, no Keenan Allen, right? So they don't have the go-to receiver. They do have Antonio Gates out there, but, you know, he's not the guy you're going to go to in every situation. It's not the same as he was, say, 10 years ago. But what they do have is a Mike Williams, who's been active all game, and a couple of monumental catches by Travis Benjamin on the last drive.
Here's your ball game. Rivers, shotgun, steps up. He throws it. Caught! Travis Benjamin across the middle. A spin move to the 10 and a first down for L.A. 26 yards through the air. Under a minute to go.
Woo, that was crazy. He was right. Ian Eagle on the Westwood One Radio Network. He is right. That was ball game. That was 4th and 7. And Travis Benjamin catches this. I mean, the pass couldn't have been any more perfect. It wasn't bad coverage by Kendall Fuller. He was between Rivers and Benjamin. He was coming across the field. He was stride for stride, but the ball was leading Travis. And so he was able to reach out. It was a flat trajectory too, so Kendall couldn't get to it to knock it down. It was, man, it was perfect. I could watch that throw and that catch over and over again. So then they're into the red zone, and as you know, there were a bunch of flags or non-calls, so a lot of controversy on this last red zone possession for the Los Angeles Chargers. They have a 3rd and goal, and they get this really wonky defensive pass interference flag that gives them a first down. Now, they probably would have gone for it on 4th down anyway, and the time was running out, so you're talking about maybe one more snap in there. But it almost looked like a makeup call for the lack of a flag on the helmet-to-helmet hit on Phillip Rivers, which was, what, 2 snaps before that, or the snap before that. And so it was too much chatter about the referees. And then what you have at the end of the game, I'm hoping that the way the Chargers played and the fact that they had the guts to go for the win instead of settling for overtime, I'm hoping that overshadows that we had to sit through an extended replay.
8 seconds to play, 1st and goal at the 1. Rivers from the gun. Rivers pulls the trigger, near side, caught. Mike Williams, touchdown, Los Angeles. Phillip Rivers, a strike. And the Chargers are an extra point away from tying it up. This crowd is stunned. Chargers working out of the gun. Rivers, he's got the snap. He looks, he floats it, end zone, wide open. Mike Williams has got it. The Chargers are celebrating 29-28. With 4 seconds left.
It was stunning, that's for sure. And yes, the entire Chargers team ran out on the field. Did you guys notice that? I was surprised there wasn't a flag there too. They were all out on the field. Left the bench, go crazy. Mike Williams is running all over the place. Why not? Not only did he have 3 touchdowns, but he had the 2-point conversion. And as much as it had been a game effort by the Chiefs defense, they got completely fooled on that 2-point conversion. It was like the Andy Reid method of running interference and running guys all over the place, and everybody goes one direction, and Mike Williams squirts out to the right in the corner, and it was an easily lofted pass by Phillip Rivers. So how about that? Going for the 2 and the win on the road instead of taking the kick and playing for overtime. I thought that was great, and I'm, again, hoping it doesn't get overshadowed by all the flags that we got down the stretch and the number of first downs that came by penalty flag. Ian Eagle with the calls on the Westwood One Radio Network. Humongous game for Mike Williams. A couple of great catches for Travis Benjamin. Justin Jackson filled in. I mean, he's no Melvin Gordon, but who is? But Jackson had, I think, almost 100 yards collectively, plus he had a touchdown. And here we go again. The Chargers rally from 2 touchdowns, 14 points behind in the 4th quarter on the road to come up with their 11th victory. And while they do not have the tie break against the Chiefs, they now have the same record. And so they go into Arrowhead, they beat the Chiefs for the first time since 2013, and they clinch a playoff spot. And in doing so, they frustrate that KC offense. Do you know this is the fewest number of yards that Kansas City had to its credit all season long? Not even 300 yards. And on the flip side, for Andy Reid, for Pat Mahomes, for that Chiefs locker room. This is the third time they've lost. All three losses have come after they've held a lead in the fourth quarter. Now, if you know Andy Reid's reputation or what people say about him, is that a bit of a concern? A lot of people will talk about he's not great in late game situations where the outcome is hanging in the balance. So we'll hear from Philip Rivers, from Anthony Lynn about that two-point conversion. Actually kind of funny to hear the quarterback's perspective and then to hear what Anthony Lynn had to say, Coach Lynn. And then we'll hear from Reed and from Mahomes as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Friday to you. It's a football Friday. What's the game you're most looking forward to? You can find the poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Second and goal for L.A. We're down to 9:52 to go in the first half. Shotgun, Rivers, two receivers left. He looks that way. Rivers, high floater. It is caught. Mike Williams, touchdown, L.A. Working against Steven Nelson. The timing was perfect. First down just inside the 20. Jackson back in, tight formation. They'll pitch it to Williams, circling to the right. Williams breaks a tackle to the 10, to the 5. Williams is in for the touchdown. Mike Williams. A little trickery from Los Angeles. 19-yard rip, and the Chargers are right back in it.
Rivers in the shotgun. Looks to the right for Mike Williams. Throws to Mike Williams. Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown, Chargers. Mike Williams with his third of the day. Shotgun snap. Rivers rolls to the right. Throws to the end zone. Caught. It's good. It's good. Mike Williams with the grab. Chargers lead 29-28.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Woo, some drama. Good to the last drop. I know that there are people out there that believe the NFL's games and outcomes are rigged or orchestrated. I do not believe that. I couldn't do this job if I did. Also, it's all kinds of crazy, and I don't think you get the players ever to buy into it. But I tell you what, it never fails. It's like fishy. How is it that all the high-profile games always seem to come down to the wire? And then you noticed it's about, I would say, the last half hour, the fourth quarter, later fourth quarter, last half hour of those early games every Sunday. Seems like all of them are going down to the wire all at once. And yeah, it's the perfect formula. And the NFL definitely is having a resurgent year, and the Chargers are a major part of it. They have clinched a playoff spot for the first time since 2013, and they are still alive. Same record as the Chiefs. They don't have the tiebreak, but still alive for the AFC West crown. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find our show poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, and we're going to drop in a bunch of audio through the rest of this hour about the games that we're most looking forward to, including Andrew Luck and Jason Garrett, Big Ben in there as well. But how about some post-game reaction from Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City? Ian Eagle, by the way, and Ian Eagle and Matt Smith with the calls of the Mike Williams touchdown. So his production was amazing, but he's had a really good year. The way that you saw the different running backs and receivers step up for Philip Rivers, I think, is a major piece of why this team manages to absorb these difficult situations and find a way to stare down these challenges. Because, and we saw with the Eagles last year, right? Despite the injuries, they were able to maintain a level of play and kind of morph and change into the, to what the situation required at the moment. And you're seeing that now with the Chargers, where there's not a major letdown. There's not a drop-off. Instead, they're stepping up and they're responding to the challenge.
I think it's this team. You won a close game to Seattle. We won a close game against the Titans in London. We lost a close game to Denver. We went to Pittsburgh and found a way. So I don't think there's anything this team believes we can't do. Now, that doesn't mean we're always going to do it. But I think, it wasn't a very a happy sideline for most of this game, but it wasn't a dejected sideline.
I love that from Philip Rivers. We weren't thrilled with how we were playing, but we believe that because we've seen it already this year, because we've pulled out wins in so many close games, we believe that we still have the opportunity. And boy, have we seen it in their last two road games. Now, what about going for the win, going for the two-point conversion instead of settling for the extra point and taking your chances in overtime? Now, it's only about, the last I looked at the stats, it's like 53-54% of the time the team that wins the coin flip to start overtime ends up winning the game. So it's not like overwhelming odds or anything. But according to Anthony Lynn, they were always going to go for the two-point conversion. How about that? He said, when we got the ball back and there were 2.5 minutes to go, I told our OC, if we score, have a play ready because we are going for the two-point conversion. And he apparently did not communicate that with Phillip Rivers until he had to. It was like a need-to-know basis with his QB.
I was gone. I was going to the sideline, going to overtime. And Coach Lynn said, let's go win it right now. Let's go for two. Let's go win it right now. And when he said that, there was so much conviction from him. It was, yeah, let's go win it right now. I mean, it was immediately turn around, let's go win it. I mean, and if we didn't win it, we didn't win it. But I think his conviction – it wasn't like, it wasn't. It was, no, let's go win the game.
That's fantastic. How many times this season have we heard players say, I love that my coach believes that we can go out there, we can get this job done. The Cam Newton comment that he made, I remember it was last week or the week before, where Ron Rivera, Riverboat Ron, they decide to go for two. They don't make it. They lose the game. It's part of this long losing skid they've got going on here. But what Cam said after the game was, I'm glad that he thinks we can go out there and win it. That's what we want. Andrew Luck has said the same thing about Frank Reich. Remember that whole 4th-and-4 situation that didn't work out earlier in the season. And so the quarterbacks and the other players will tell you, it makes me confident when my coach believes that we can go out and we can get this done. And you hear that with Phillip Rivers. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So what exactly happened to the Kansas City Chiefs? What changed? They had a 14-point lead with, 8.5 minutes to go when they scored their last touchdown.
This is a tough one, and but you got to be, in this business, you got to be resilient. You got to learn from your mistakes. That's what's real, and if we do that, we're a pretty good team, but you have all these penalties here. It's a problem.
There were a lot of penalties. I think they kind of evened out, though. I don't think they were in favor of one team over the other. It was just a lot of dirty laundry. According to Pat Mahomes, and it was frustrating for him on the sidelines and watch. You could see they kept panning to him on the sidelines with the cameras. And he had to stand there for these two long drives, two scoring drives by the Chargers in the second half of that fourth quarter. And meanwhile, his offense has gone 3 and out. And so he didn't have the chance to be back out there on the field. Once they gave up the football after the 3 and out, they only got it back with, a couple seconds left.
When you don't execute and you get penalties and stuff like that, that stalls out drives. And so we got some scores, but whenever we needed to move the ball at the end, we didn't execute, and so it sucks now. But we're gonna kind of recuperate and come back and try to win these next two games.
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs did a lot of things well, but this has become a bit of an Achilles heel and a pattern now. Now, in the case of the Patriots and the Rams, both those games they had leads in the fourth quarter. However, their defense couldn't stop anybody. In this particular game, sure, their defense gave up some big plays to Phillip Rivers in the offense, but I think the defense generally played well. It really was incumbent upon that offense to keep the ball away from Phillip Rivers. They had just scored a touchdown. They'd put together an 11-play, 75-yard drive, and instead of keeping it away from Rivers, as he's, now he's in a groove and they're doing the ball control game. Instead of keeping it away from him, they give it right back. So this one's on the offense. If you can't possess that football and keep it away and protect a lead on your own field with that enormous loud crowd on your side, well then, you know what? You deserve to stand there and watch while the other quarterback goes out there to try to win it. 855-212-4227. Also on my Twitter, now there's a whole conversation going on about bro and bruh. Just more than I ever needed to know about bro and bruh. On our Facebook page, too, what's the game that you're most looking forward to this weekend in the NFL? Let's see. Coming up, we'll do a little bit of preview. We'll kind of do some quick hits on the various games that have playoff implications. So that's straight ahead after hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Parker pitches it. And it's Greg, Greg, 30, 20. Gronkowski's got a tackle.
Oh, that way!
He got it in the end zone. What the hell?
The Dolphins win it.
Unbelievable. Are you kidding me?
That is unbelievable.
I don't believe what I just saw.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I don't believe what I just saw, and I have no idea what just happened if all I'm doing is listening to the call on the Dolphins radio network. It was the so dramatic, so suck you right back into the NFL moment of last weekend, and you chose it as your TD of the week, of course, and we've kind of dissected it a million times, as has the entire football world. If you haven't seen the different camera angles of that miracle in Miami that was capped by Kenyon Drake and the run through the secondary and past Rob Gronkowski, we put up a link. It's not our video, but we put up a link that features a bunch of different angles, including the one from the far end zone as the play is coming at Rob Gronkowski and coming at you from your perspective. So you should check that out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. It's fascinating. You can understand why Ryan Tannehill says, as soon as I saw Drake there with Gronk, I knew we were going to score. It's very evident. Anyway, I don't know if we'll get another fantastic finish like that one in week 15, but we did start out on a pretty sweet exclamation point with the Chargers going for the two-point conversion, and they became the first team. How about this? This is a great nerd alert. The first team in exactly 16 years since the Vikings week 15 of 2002 to win on a two-point conversion in the final 10 seconds of regulation. You may think it happens a lot, but it doesn't. Even when teams go for it, as opposed to settling for overtime, which doesn't even happen on a regular basis, it's not automatic that they're going to either make that call or complete the two-point conversion. So yeah, first time in 16 years that a team has won on a two-point conversion in the final 10 seconds of regulation. Exactly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I just retweeted our poll. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? And a lot of you are weighing in on Facebook as well, including the whole conversation about vertebrae, vertebra, bra versus bro. Apparently in different parts of the country, it means something entirely different, Brian. So to Brian, bra is not a compliment. This is coming from, Brian's got all the street cred here. I have zero. And so after I was explaining that on the radio, then I saw this tweet from Hawaii that said, in Hawaii, and he said he was actually stationed there for quite a while, and he said, Hawaiians use bruh as a term of affection, like you use bro here. I don't use either. Popular greeting there is, how's it, bruh, or hey, bruh.
But they also use aloha, and we don't use that here. It's like a different language out there.
They're still Americans, my friend.
I understand, but
they can still be bras or bros.
It's like a different dialect of English.
I mean, my God, if you go to West Virginia, there's a different dialect of English, too. If you go to the South, there's also many different dialects. We are a melting pot, so it's okay. But I like it. I like that different parts of the country, a word can mean something completely different. That's cool. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, so our phone number is 855-212-4CBS. I want to do a couple of drop-ins here about the games that I'm excited about this weekend, and I know you are too, and then we'll get to your calls. We've got the Steelers and the Patriots both needing a win. I wouldn't say for the Patriots it's urgent in terms of they're not going to win the AFC East, but trying to get a bye, which has been so critical to their success over the years. This is really important. And then you've got the Steelers coming off of three consecutive losses, and they've been painful ones at that. And you can just hear it in the tone of Ben Roethlisberger's voice about how much this three-week run has sucked.
It's frustrating when you can't beat anybody. You know, if you can't beat the Raiders at Oakland, it's you know, the Patriots are one of the best teams for a reason. You know, it's not, we're not the only team that has issues with them. You know, they're that good. So the past is the past, though. So it's, we can only focus on this week.
I mean, if you can't beat the Raiders in Oakland. Ouch. So, yes, they are going back home, and they will have the Patriots. Remember last year's fantastic finish? Gosh, I mean, it was, talk about heart palpitations all over the country and a debate that raged for weeks. So Patriots-Steelers, definitely one of the high-profile games of the weekend. How about the Andrew Luck Colts offense that has been really good outside of that strange shutout, 6-0 to Jacksonville 2 weeks ago? They've been so good, and if you have not seen the numbers, the connection between T.Y. Hilton and Andrew Luck over the last, was it last three, no, 4 weeks, they've got more passing yards together. T.Y. does. He's got more passing yards than any other receiver in the NFL. And so you've got two offenses that are relying upon receivers heavily. For the Cowboys, it's Amari Cooper. For Andrew Luck, it's T.Y. Hilton. And I mean, these are the guys, like, to borrow the phrase from Ezekiel Elliott, the whole feed me situation. These are the guys that you want to continue to throw the ball to because they're volume guys and they get into a rhythm and they get into a groove, and it's really difficult to contain them or to even catch them.
T.Y. has a unique way of doing things that I don't think many others can quite replicate. And he does things, you know, very, very well. He does those things very, very well. I know certainly after, this is our, you know, seventh year together, I mean, I appreciate what he brings to the table, specifically on the football field. He just does some really, really cool stuff. Obviously, he's a great teammate. He's a great friend. But he does some things maybe a little differently than other guys would, but it works.
He's got 556 yards in the past four games, and that's the most in the NFL during that stretch. However, if you expand that and you go six games, so all the way back to the trade of Amari Cooper from Oakland to Dallas, Amari's got the most receiving yards in the NFL over the last 6 weeks. And of course, the Cowboys are 5-1. And Jason Garrett can't say enough about how that one guy has completely altered the look of their offense.
I'm not really surprised, just because we've got so many great recommendations about him, both from people at Alabama and people in Oakland who had been around him, you know, each and every day. And certainly so much of what we saw on tape was impressive. But it's not easy to do what he's done, come into the middle of the season and get himself acclimated into an offense and have the impact that he's had. But he's just a really good football player. Physically, he's a really good player. He doesn't have really any limitations about routes he can run and things he can do out there. You can ask him to do anything. But, you know, maybe the thing that's been most impressive to us is just how smart he is, how much of a football guy he is. Right from the outset, you know, we gave him a lot of stuff to handle, and never really had any issues where I don't really know where to line up, what are you looking for on this. He's a very serious-minded guy. Football's important to him. You see that every day and how he prepares, and it's certainly showing up on Sundays.
Instant upgrade. Instant number one wide receiver, instant upgrade. And I hope by now Cowboys fans are admitting that Amari Cooper is maybe worth more than a first round draft pick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Cam Newton, maybe you would expect him to be cranky. In fact, he's not. And I quote Cam, he's excited for the opportunity to take on the Saints Monday night in Charlotte and snap this losing streak.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
I mean, we've been on this skid for a couple of weeks, and, you know, we were going against a divisional opponent. And, you know, even going back to week one, we kind of figured, you know, it would come down to a scenario like this in one way, shape, form. Of course, for it to be coming down like this for us, it's not ideal. But at the end of the day, you know, we still have a chance, still have opportunity to play, and we're looking forward to it. I know I am personally.
No, it's definitely not ideal. I mean, think about where the Panthers were. They were 6-2, and they have now lost five consecutive games. They were right there on the Saints' heels, And now, of course, the Saints have clinched the South, and the Panthers are in dire straits. They may very well miss out on the postseason. They're going to need some help for sure, because the Seattle Seahawks, with their four-game win streak, they look like they are going to be the five seed. And then you've got a bunch of other teams chasing the Vikings, who are right now the only team at 500 in the NFC. It's strange, right? You've only got five teams with winning records, and then you've got the Vikings at 500. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's go to our phones here. Derek is listening in Seattle. Derek, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
I want to say I'm looking forward to two games this weekend. I'm looking forward to New England beating the Steelers, and the Steelers are going to get knocked out of playoff contention.
In one game?
Pittsburgh, they're going to lose against New England this weekend.
Okay.
Can't wait.
So I don't know that they can get knocked out of playoff contention with just one loss, though.
No, it's going to happen.
Oh.
And I am proud to say, as a Cowboys fan, the Rams are going to hang 50 points on the Eagles this weekend, and their season is going to come to an end. And I wish I could be a fly on the wall to see the expression of some of the most disrespectful fan base in the history of football in Philadelphia.
Well, the game is in Los Angeles, so they probably won't be together. However, I would say, just trust me, as a national talk show host, every fan base has its core of disrespectful people. It's just, it's how it goes. We're America.
Well,
a bunch of us are disrespectful. So
that is, you know, Amy, that is true. But
yeah,
but overall, it's Philadelphia. I'm serious. It's bad.
Okay. It's bad everywhere, Derek, I promise. I hope that you enjoy the games, even if they don't work out the way that you would like them to. But thank you so much for calling from Seattle. Let's talk to Sean, who's in New Hampshire. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you. I'm just calling in on the Patriots there. A couple of quick little comments. I mean, that game against the Dolphins, they shouldn't have lost that. They left too many points on the board.
They did.
And to touch on that last conversation you were just having with the fan bases, I got a couple of friends that traveled down to Miami for that game.
I've done that. I did that before. I think in 2003 I was down there. You know what else happened while I was down there, Sean? Aaron Boone hit the home run in Game 7 of the ALCS. That happened a couple days before the Patriots played Miami in South Beach.
Oh, that's too soon.
Yeah, but, it was.
But, you know, my friends that went down, they had beers poured on them from the Miami fans.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's that core in every fan base.
Right. But this game against the Steelers coming up this weekend, it's going to be interesting. Both teams are very hungry. I believe that the Patriots need this game a little bit more than the Steelers, just for the fact of how successful the franchise has been, the championships have been, the Super Bowls have been to. You know, they need to reclaim their identity from that awful loss this past week.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with this particular season. I'm going to disagree with you only because the Steelers have lost three in a row and are hanging on by a thread to their division lead. They're only up by a half game. I mean, I get that the Dolphins just won to get back above 500, but the Patriots still have a two-game lead with 3 weeks to go. So they're still going to end up winning the AFC East. I would say it's important in terms of the bye, and that's critical just because Tom Brady and the Pats are a lot better in the playoffs when they have the home field advantage, as is pretty much every team. But I will say this about the Pats. I agree with you, the point you made. It, as much as that last touchdown by Kenyon Drake hurts in the way that it played out, they left, what, 7 points out there potentially? The missed extra point, the missed field goal. And then Brady has admitted he screwed up at the end of the first half. He took a sack, not realizing the time and the space and what down it was, and it was a chip shot field goal there. So they did leave a bunch of points on the board, and that's not something you typically see from the Patriots. So I wouldn't anticipate that happening again. Sean, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Hope you have a fun viewing experience. Yeah, I mean, it's a critical game for both if you consider their goals, but the Steelers, if they lose and the Ravens win this weekend, they would drop out of first place And right now, they have 7 wins, the same as pretty much all the other teams that are vying for the wild cards, and so they can't really afford to lose. All right, I'm excited about this weekend. Take our poll. It's up on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm back Sunday night, armed with Christmas cookies. This is my baking weekend for Christmas cookies. Talk to you soon. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.